We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Tuesday. Housing. Housing is hot, isn't it? But what are the hottest housing markets in the metro Milwaukee area? We'll take a quick look around this morning, give you some insights on prices, availability, and what the latest numbers are telling us on the metro Milwaukee housing market. Also, what did Milwaukee County do with all those trees at Veterans Park, right at the lagoon? Why did they remove them? What's going on? What was the cost? It was odd. Over the weekend, I had a lot of people ask me about this. I'm like, well, why are you asking me? Like, I see you. You drive the lakefront all the time, and these trees are all gone. What did they do? I got some answers, so we'll tell you about that later in the show. And in the second half of the show, speaking of Milwaukee County, the CEO of the Marcus Performing Arts Center will join us. What's coming up programming-wise for the rest of the year? How's the profit and loss statement looking there? And any updates on the development at the parking garage site just north of the Marcus Center? We'll get updates on many levels from the CEO of the Marcus Performing Arts Center. But first, as we do each and every morning on The Upswing, let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the
1, 2, 2.
Up on The Upswing.
$8 billion for Perplexity. Have you used Perplexity? You should. You look at all the different AI startups, all the different platforms. Perplexity is a really good, usable platform. The AI startup has entered fundraising talks that it hopes can take its valuation to at least $8 billion. That's up from $3 billion this summer and around $5 million at the start of the year. The Wall Street Journal reports this yesterday, citing anonymous sources. The two-year-old company is looking to raise roughly $500 million this round, and its success will be, quote, a test of how eager investors are to own a piece of the buzzy AI startups showing signs of market traction, per the Wall Street Journal. Now, OpenAI, whose ChatGPT is really dominating the market still, recently closed on one of the largest funding rounds in Silicon Valley history, raising $6.6 billion at a valuation of $157 billion. Perplexity earned money by selling premium subscriptions to consumers. So it's a pretty simple business model. So it's got to manage its relationships with publishers too, because it's sourcing content from all over. I really like it. I've been using it for months, but it will be interesting to see how the valuation continues to grow and how they fine tune their business model moving forward, because you got to get those subscription dollars. Speaking of dollars, Kohl's Cash, will it buy a little bit more for the holidays upcoming? Wisconsin-based Kohl's is positioning its strategy for the holiday season as, quote, offering gifts, more gifts at affordable prices. This is according to Chief Merchandise Officer Nick Jones, said in a news release yesterday that the plan is to further position Kohl's as a destination for gifting at great prices. The department store chain's approach to the 2024 holiday shopping season includes an expanded assortment and a new Kohl's Value gift shop featuring stocking stuffers and grab-and-go, with the majority of the items priced, get this, less than $5, and hundreds of options less than $10. That's a little bit of a difference from what we expect at Kohl's. But they're also adding more gift sets at Sephora, plans to promote jewelry under $25 and toys for as little as $5.99, adding a tree farm to its holiday elements like all stores are. But, you know, it's going to be front-facing right in the front of most of the stores, ornaments, lighting, inflatables, and more, plus a larger offering of gift-giving essentials with holiday cards and gift wrap and all the more. It will be interesting to see how Kohl's and consumers take to this strategy. They're going all in on the discounting. So you buy a little bit more and then you get a little bit more Kohl's cash in reward, right? All right, next, housing sales numbers are out for September. I have all the numbers, all the data, and some insights on the hottest housing markets in Metro Milwaukee. We'll discuss when we come back. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Is that coffee?
That's it! I'm getting 100 cups of coffee, starting now.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's The Upswing's Coffee Index.
Smells good.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Where'd you get your morning coffee this morning? Gotten back to my routine of taking the lakefront in from the North Shore. So I stopped at the Lakefront Colectivo Cafe. It was built in 1888. And at one point, it was the largest water pump in the world. And it's a beautiful facility. I got to stop there more often. Got a medium coffee, $2.99, the 25-cent tax. So it took me to $3.24. But I did earn those 6 loyalty points at Colectivo. So a wonderful, great experience. Producer Jazz, where'd you stop this morning?
I went to Wantable, actually.
Oh, right.
Right after it opens, and
okay.
It was very dead. And
yes,
I came. The barista is like, "Sorry, we don't. I'm only serving drinks. The rest of my staff isn't here." I'm like, "Well, good thing I'm here only for coffee." But I also forgot I didn't take cash, which was.
Ooh.
I'm like, oh, I guess I'll just.
Yeah.
Not go to my cash budget or whatever. So yeah. it was $3.26. Added a dollar tip to it, so $4.26. But it was pretty good. Had the cream and sugar, so.
Very good. All right. Yeah, Wantable usually ramps up after 8, but the 7:30 to 8 period, a little lighter there. But glad you got a good cup of coffee to start the day. So where do you suggest buying a home right now in Metro Milwaukee? The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. I want to give you some insights and some numbers and data that we got over the last several days. And you know, this all kind of came about from, I had a friend who had a colleague that was moving from Northern Illinois to the greater Milwaukee area, and kind of, they were going to work downtown. I'm not going to say where, but they were looking at a bunch of different areas around Metro Milwaukee. Where should they buy a home? So we had coffee, we sat down, and I gave him all my insights on, hey, here's this area, here's the benefits here, here's the distance, and you just kind of walk through the, you know, all the different housing options that we have in the area. But I'm wondering, you know, when you have those conversations with teammates or family members, where do you suggest people buy a home in Metro Milwaukee? 855-616-1620. So the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors is out with September data. Home sales in Metro Milwaukee through the third quarter were better than the same period in 2023, but still a little lackluster based upon previous year's activities. Sales in the 6 of the first 9 months this year were ahead of last year. However, last year, you know, pretty weak sales, weaker than kind of the time right before the Great Recession from 2016 to 2022. The greater Milwaukee market had sales in excess of 20,000 units each and every year. Then in 2023, that number fell to 16,584. 2024 looks like we're going to be back on the rebound, getting up to probably just over 17,000 unit mark for Metro Milwaukee. But despite kind of the fluctuation of interest rates, the market over the last several years, it's driven by one thing, right? The availability of listings. And sometimes those are really, really slim. Listings in September and through the third quarter were up 3.8% and 5.4% respectively. However, the 16,546 units that have been listed so far are approximately 4,000 units shy of what the market needs to get to equilibrium. So we took a look at the hot markets and what the availability is in each one of these markets. Let me give you the first two right off the bat. Wauwatosa. Wauwatosa homes are selling pretty fast. There's a total of 23,148 total housing units in Tosa. Well, now Wauwatosa is about 50,000 people. It's also known as the city of homes because many of the Victorian style buildings, their home stock was built in the 19th and 20th century. But they got to act fast. If you want a home in Wauwatosa, homes in the city are selling after an average of just 11 days on the market. And this is according to Metro MLS data. Keeping pace with the market in 2023 when Wauwatosa homes sold after an average of just 12 days on the market. JS Online, at the MLS, and GMAR data all putting this together for us. The average home prices in Wauwatosa hit $422,000 last quarter, up from $406,000 a year earlier. By the end of the third quarter, a total of 452 homes had been sold in Tosa. This, again, according to Metropolitan MLS data. So interesting to see what's happening in Tosa. I'm going to tell you about Greendale and Grafton when we come back, and we'll read some of your responses from the WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Shine on, you crazy diamond. We're giving away Brit Floyd tickets. Tune in to What's on Tap from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to win. The iconic Brit Floyd returns to the Riverside Theater. One lucky winner will get two tickets to the show. You can celebrate 50 years of Wish You Were Here with the album played in full at the show, plus other classic Floyd tracks amongst the stunning production Brit Floyd always brings. The show is Friday, May 31st, and Saturday, June 1st, at the beautiful Riverside Theater downtown. Celebrate 50 years of Wish You Were Here with Brit Floyd. Tune in tonight from 6 to 8 p.m., 6 to 7 p.m. to win. All right, giving a kind of fast and furious look at the housing market across metropolitan Milwaukee. I wanted to look at Greendale. The median household income in Greendale, $89,000. Total population, 14,472. You look at the average home sale in Greendale, $374,333 this year, an 8% increase in prices year over year. A total of 100 homes in Greendale have sold through the third quarter of 2024. Let's go to Grafton, up to Grafton. 5,846 housing units there, 97% which are occupied. But between January 1st and September 30th, a total of 197 homes have sold in Grafton. The average prices in Grafton are up 10% since last year, up to $478,000, $278,284 to be precise. So the price is rising in Grafton, a great community in Grafton, without a doubt. So I asked ChatGPT this question because I got to embrace my inner AI, if you will. If I were to move to Metro Milwaukee, where should I buy a house to optimize my investment? ChatGPT analyzed all the data, all the information. What do you think was the number one community? Bayview was number one, Milwaukee's Bayview neighborhood, and this is why. Bayview has experienced significant revitalization over the last decade, and it continues to attract young professionals, artists, and families. Its proximity to downtown Milwaukee, coupled with a lively arts and food scene, makes it desirable. Number two, Shorewood. Shorewood is one of the most affluent suburbs in Milwaukee, with excellent schools and a small town feel, making it attractive to families. Number three from ChatGPT, Wauwatosa. Number four, Mequon. Mequon, known for larger homes, bigger, spacious lots, offering that suburban feel excellent schools, without a doubt. A little bit more rural, but close enough to Milwaukee for an easy commute. And then number five was another neighborhood in Milwaukee, the historic Third Ward. For those looking for a more urban downtown lifestyle, the Third Ward offers luxury condos and townhouses, one of the most sought-after neighborhoods for professionals and creatives. So that's what ChatGPT is telling us. If you're going to move to Milwaukee, here's how you need to look at housing prices. Looking at communities on Zillow, only 12 homes for sale right now in Shorewood. They range from $365,000 all the way up to $3 million. You go north a little bit to Whitefish Bay, only 7 homes available right now on Zillow from $200,000 to $2.15 million. The $200,000 one is a 1,000-square-foot condo, by the way. So the housing stock around Metro Milwaukee, still very, very slim. Housing market shifting, though, nationally. 6 major markets where home prices are actually falling. You look at the regional housing markets in Texas, Florida, and Louisiana. They're all experiencing mild home price reductions right now. Among the nation's 50 largest metropolitan housing markets, these 6 markets have seen outright year-over-year home price declines over the last 12 months. Sure, you can easily guess, but New Orleans, Austin. Austin's down 4%. San Antonio, down 2.7%. Tampa, down 0.5%. Jacksonville and Dallas, down 0.3%. The trend is kind of clear. You know, the bigger housing market shift is cooling a little bit, but mainly cooling in markets around the Gulf. Many of these areas, the pandemic migration has slowed a little bit. Housing prices have stretched compared to local incomes, and home builders have a larger presence with new supply hitting the market, and home costs and home insurance costs have spiked a whole lot. An interesting data point to end this segment: since 2020, the metro area housing market in Milwaukee is up 42.9%. All right. When we come back, the CEO from the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts joins us. Really good insight as to housing and development plans at their garage and what's coming up in terms of programming and kind of phase 2 of their development plans at the Marcus Center. I'll also tell you all about the trees being cleared out at Veterans Park. We can blame one thing: dead ash trees. The contractor, TNT Tree Service, removed evasive dead ash trees from approximately 2.79 acres on the east side of Veterans Lagoon. I have all the information, including what it may cost to rebuild those trees. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Is your shower and or tub space looking like it could use an update? WTMJ and Sidex have paired together to give away a tub or shower conversion. This is your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do is take a picture of your shower or tub and text the word creepy to the WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Submit your picture and you could win a full conversion from our good friends at Sidex. For full contest rules, visit WTMJ.com. All right, I want to go back to my Veterans Park Lagoon conversation a little bit. Over the weekend, I had a bunch of friends say, "You know, what happened to all the trees at the lagoon? They were so beautiful. It was that's my favorite view." So I reached out to Milwaukee County Parks Department and got a response from Peter Bratt, who is the Director of Operations and Skilled Trades for Milwaukee County Parks. Gave me the full rundown of what's happened to the trees at the Veterans Park Lagoon. County Parks removed evasives and dead ash trees from approximately 2.79 acres on the east side of Veterans Lagoon. Because of the density of the dead trees on the site, Parks needed to forestry mow the entire area to remove invasive vegetation, including buckthorn, honeythuckle, and box elders, to gain access to reach the dead ash trees. The project is not only targeted ash tree removal that our team has been worked on for this entire year. Other sites include Greenfield Golf Course, Madison Park, Green Park, and Cooper Park. Moving forward, and I asked, okay, what's the next steps? What are the costs? Moving forward, County Park says it's looking to secure a grant to study future improvements to the water quality and conditions at the lagoon. This would provide direction on a future approach for improving the lagoon. Moving forward, the county forestry team will be addressing future work at Veterans Lagoon as conditions and time allows. You asked, that's the answer to where the trees went at Veterans Park. All right. Well, speaking of Milwaukee County, Milwaukee County's partnership with the Marcus Performing Arts Center is scheduled to run through the end of 2025. So there may be some change coming. There may not. But I wanted to kind of get to the bottom of it all. So the CEO of the Marcus Performing Arts Center, Kevin Giglio, joins us in studio. Kevin, thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be here.
Of course. So your message to the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors earlier this summer was what, Kevin?
Well, first and foremost, it was that this has been a partnership since the very beginning, from the building of the original facility. And just as an example, in the last 20 years, the county has put about $14 million into the infrastructure itself. And at the same time, the Marcus Performing Arts Center has invested $24 million. And it's that collaboration mm-hmm. on an ongoing basis that keeps the facility to the point where it can have world-class performances. And, you know, the other message is that since the departure of the Milwaukee Symphony, we've had a lot more dates available to do a wider array of programming that really reflects the diversity of the entire Milwaukee region. So we're serving a lot more people and a lot more audiences that we weren't reaching before.
Yeah. And how have you worked to kind of fill that MSO gap?
Yeah. Well, and we haven't filled quite the financial gap yet, but we actually have tripled our fundraising. And so that specific gap was filled by fundraising, but we still have a long way to go with our fundraising because they hadn't ever really raised money on an annual basis throughout their history. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have to, but we're really building from the ground up. But what we've been able to do is work with different artists. So, you know, we just had Esperanza Spalding come in recently, and she is one of the world's really most remarkable crossover artists who's kind of core in jazz. And we have, you know, Ladies of Hip Hop coming in the new year. And on top of that, we're doing a group of performances that are dance, are jazz aligned. Hmm. We're doing some comedy. We're doing other performances in order to fill those spaces and at the same time grow our Broadway as well.
Okay. Kevin Galento is the CEO of the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts. See, I said it wrong right there. We were just talking before. Like, is it the Marcus Center? Is it the PAC? I'm sure you get that. You're still like 1 year into the role.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of calls the Marcus Center something different, but that means it's impactful and everyone has an attachment to the Marcus Center, right?
That's right. I still hear, you and I were talking, I still hear the PAC. And, you know, it's important. And as long as our name is out there and we're reinforcing it, you know, I'm happy.
All right. Does the Marcus Center survive long-term without financial support from Milwaukee County?
Yes, I believe we would survive, but I think the question will be the mix of what we do, how much of it will we be able to continue to sustain into the future? And that's really the conversation we've been having with the county and frankly with our board and, you know, as a team.
Okay. When we come back, how the business model has changed over the last couple of years, and we'll get an update on the campus master plan, including continued improvements all around the grounds. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, looking at the economics of the Marcus Performing Arts Center. CEO Kevin Galento joins us in studio. Kevin, again, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
So The Marcus Performing Arts Center is still home to the Milwaukee Ballet, and you have the touring Broadway series each and every year. Give us an overview of the other partners and programs at the facility.
Sure. You know, the ballet, which has been a long time resident company there. We have the Florentine Opera. We have First Stage Children's Theater, which is really one of the country's best children's theaters right here in Milwaukee. And Black Arts MKE, which is presenting a wide array of art that features black artistic creators. They're actually celebrating 10 years of the Black Nativity that they're performing this fall around the holidays. And, you know, in addition to those really important resident companies and the culture collective that we put together of diverse artists, we also have other partnerships like what we do with Milwaukee Public Schools. We had a great partnership this summer with Culture by Design, creating the Summer of Soul series. So we have a lot of versions of Soul out on our new outdoor grounds for free throughout the summer. And another great example is True School, who we partnered with for celebrating hip hop's 50th anniversary. But we have a longstanding relationship with them. And the whole point of this is that it's a broad collection of partnerships that reflect a wide array of performances reaching a lot of audience.
Yeah. So from a facility and business model standpoint, how has that changed through the last several years? I was on the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts Board several years ago. And it, one of the things we continue to look at, you know, how do you increase earned revenue, not only from a ticket sales standpoint, but how do you increase the viability of all the facilities? How do you do upgrades and how do you bring it all together?
Yeah, yeah. That's a great question. And that is what is different from the prior model, which was more of a venue model, right? A lot of resident companies and Broadway.
Right.
This is more of a traditional performing arts center model where you're getting about 20% of your annual revenue from contributed revenue.
Okay.
And that is not what historically has been done at the Marcus Center. So we are raising more money. You know, we've grown the number of donors by almost 300% and we've tripled the amount of giving, but we still have a long way to go. But what we're trying to do is to get to that 20% is, you know, grow that base and actually ask people for the first time to give. A lot of people didn't realize that we even were a nonprofit for many years.
Yeah.
But it's not one avenue either, because we're growing our Broadway series because it's been so successful. We sold over 88% of the tickets that we had on sale last year, and we have really a growing subscriber base. But also, how do we rent the facility out appropriately? How do we partner with different groups to come in and so that we're not having as many dark nights? And then sponsorships across the board.
Yeah. So what are the plans for kind of the campus and the improvements to the grounds? And when we come back from the break, we'll talk about the parking garage space. But just talk about the campus per se right now.
Yeah. So, you know, we had some really great enhancements that were made before I got here and taken advantage of the pandemic to redo Eline Hall, which is really in much better shape. The outdoor grounds that were created, which gives us a whole different surface to provide community programming. But where we're looking right now, we looked at the original campus master plan, and there's some really good things in there that we wanted to extend, like renovating the Todd Weir Theater, which is where First Stage is home. Yeah. And it's the one theater that really hasn't been renovated. And when you think we have young people coming there to experience art for the first time, we need to bring it up to speed.
Yeah.
On top of that, we are looking at a lot of improvements around accessibility. You know, the building is 55 years old. We need to make sure it can accommodate people regardless of physical ability. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of enhancements that's going to go up there. And then finally, you know, there's a lot there, but the final category is really creating an iconic destination downtown. So when you look at the facade, particularly on the south side of the building, it's like a series of screens.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking lighting to a new space, having a large LED screen, but also animated projection, that's not to do ads, but to do art and to literally animate the building so that it's an iconic, you know, visual experience that's right there in the heart of Milwaukee.
Creative placemaking, that's what drives downtowns for sure. Yeah. We're talking with Kevin Galento, who is the CEO of the Marcus Performing Arts Center. When we come back, what are the next steps for the parking garage space and what impact does Kevin and the board think this project could have on operations and finances at the Marcus Center? Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Kevin Galento of the Marcus Performing Arts Center. So, Kevin, as Performing Arts Center looks to expand its footprint and look at additional revenue opportunities. Obviously, you focused on the parking garage just north of the facility. Mm-hmm. What's an update on that project? And just as you look at it as a whole, like, how could that really drive the operations and finances at the Marcus Performing Arts Center?
Sure. Well, right now, you know, the land is city-owned land. And it's an area they've wanted to redevelop for quite some time. And the parking garage, the structure itself is ours, and we do earn that revenue right now from parking. But to see the region get activated and have more development in that area is definitely the thing that would create the kind of activity that would support the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Losing parking revenue is not great, and so we're working with the city and the developers who created proposals all had some aspect of parking share that would allow us some revenue to flow in from.
Okay. So you'll be a partner in that project no matter who ultimately builds it. I mean, right now there's a $700 million development plan on the table from a Madison developer. So you'll be a part of that no matter what ultimately gets built at that site.
Exactly. And what's going on right now is I know that the city, the Common Council, and the development, the DCD of the mayor's office are kind of working together because there's some questions about is it viable for that proposal, and they need to explore that and come together on an agreement that works best for the city collectively. And I think it's a healthy conversation, and we'll be a partner whatever comes out of that.
Is there a timeline for that decision, or internally what have those discussions been?
Not necessarily. I know the hope was that there, you know, I know they have about a year to exclusive rights to get financing, and the hope would be that it would be closed by that time, meaning the process would be closed. But by the time it takes to move forward on any construction, it could take much longer. So we're kind of letting the process take shape.
Okay. All right. What is coming up next for the fall and winter season?
Well, you know, it's hard to like not have a smile on my face when I think about Elf coming up, because Elf is hilarious. The Elf the musical, it's a very hot ticket as well. So I'm really excited about that. But we also have Hip Hop Nutcracker, which is a very contemporary approach on that classic. And then, as I said, Black Arts MKE is celebrating 10 years of Black Nativity, and the Milwaukee Ballet will have their Nutcracker. And First Stage is going to have Rudolph the Red Nose the musical. So all of that happening.
Festive holiday programming.
Indeed.
Puts a smile on my face, too. So you came from the Kennedy Center in D.C.
Yes.
And you're a little over a year into your role in downtown Milwaukee. What are your impressions of the market, and kind of how do you define the Milwaukee of today?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I'm coming back to Milwaukee because I went to school at Marquette.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since I've graduated and lived here for that, but I've been coming to Milwaukee for 35 years. I love it. It's an anchor for my friends and myself throughout the years. And I think what I've enjoyed most is seeing it evolve over that period of time. And I think there's so much here that wasn't there in the 80s and even the early 90s. And so it's a vibrant place with a rich artistic collection of institutions. And I think the people here have been really proud of what's happening and taking shape. And so I'm excited to be here.
Very good. Kevin Galento is the CEO of the Marcus Performing Arts Center. Kevin, appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Nona is expanding to as many as 12 locations in 2025. The health, wellness, and nutrition brand plans to expand after receiving $1.3 million in seed money raised by angel investors. Giannis and GE Healthcare announced a $1 million initiative. The new initiative, called Powering Milwaukee Forward, will distribute the money to 10 Milwaukee nonprofits with a focus on improving access to housing, education, healthy food, and safe physical environments. The 333 Water apartment complex is around 20% leased. Hines, the developer of the 31-story tower in Milwaukee's 3rd Ward, is looking to have the space 90% leased by early 2026. I'm Logan Hansen from MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.